Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, grab your Bibles, and I want you to open up to Joshua, and we're going to go all around God's Word today. And so if you've got a physical Bible or if you've got one on your phone, either one is fine in this. And so go over to Joshua chapter 1. And here's what I always say when we begin this sort of this kind of sermon, if you'd say, or when we look at a passage like this, we always, whenever we're looking at Joshua chapter 1, we have to refrain from being familiar with the word, right? We have to refrain. So when all of a sudden someone says, okay, we're going to talk about the crossing of the Red Sea or the crossing of the Jordan today. We have to refrain from our familiarity with Scripture and believe that at that moment, we are going to receive something today from His Word that maybe we've read 100 times. Now, if you're new to the kingdom, maybe that's not happening with you yet, but if you're like me, and I think I was 8 days old when I went to the nursery the first time, okay, and been there ever since. And it's something where, yeah, I've been in the nursery ever since, right? In there. Sometimes my wife might think so, but Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read here, and we're going to look at a few things that basically look at rocks and water this morning. And we're going to look at the life of Moses and the life of Joshua just for a little while. So let's begin with chapter 1, verse 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to you, to them, the children of Israel. Now, when I read this, when I read scripture, Sorry, if you hear me saying, okay, I'm not crazy. I'm just hearing something that I have to do before I continue to go on. Now, one of the things I know is extremely important in your walk. How many want to grow with God? If you didn't put up your hand, talk to me about it afterwards, okay, in there. But everybody wants to grow with God. But there are many keys to growing with God, but here's the one that I would say that is one of the major keys to growing with God. Now, I'm not going to put anybody in the spot and ask you this, but I would say what hunk of scripture are you just mulling over continuously right now? And you might say, well, I have a devotional life. Yes, that's really, really important. I just loved doing the cleanse this year. Everybody enjoy that? And it was just awesome and was great. But it was a launching again for some of us, that sense of knowing that I want to dive deeper. I want to dive deeper. And there's this sense of being able to go, God, this is my hunk or this is my chunk of scripture. This is my, maybe if you want to put it in religious terms, this is the chapters that I'm looking at. These are the verses that I'm focusing on. And it's like, we do have a whole lot of other things, but there should be really at any moment, a passage of scripture that we're just diving into. I believe that the Holy Spirit teaches us, right? I value teachers. Boy, do I value teachers. I value when my pastor preaches. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am really, this is going to sound strange to say it this way, but I'll just say it. I'm really proud of the preacher that Pastor Jay has become. Come on now. I mean, seriously, he was always good, but I love it when Pastor Jay preaches. Right? He'll just come into my office sometime and go, this is where I'm thinking of going. And I'm like, it's going to be good. Okay. And I'm getting excited about what God is doing in this. But in all of us, the Holy Spirit is here to teach us so we can go through the word. But we have to be careful that we don't just read like, is, for example, we would have a video game playing, we would have the TV on, music on, we'd have somewhere else, and we're just skim reading really to go through this. When you begin to find this hunk of scripture that God is saying to you, there's something in there. It's a time then to get out your shovel, get out your pick, get out whatever it would be in the spirit and start to dig in that word. And what's so amazing is sometimes you can just sit there and go, after the death of Moses, for example, and you'd be like, oh, hang on a second here. Right. Moses is dead at this time. So I wonder what that does to Joshua in the middle of this. when we begin this, instead of just sitting there just, you know, reading black words on a white page, okay, in this, we begin to really dive into it. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to ask you to do this with me. If you don't have a hunk of scripture yet, that's all right. Okay, and you're like, Pastor Rod, I do devotions. Please do not take this as a, oh my, I never had a hunk of scripture. I'm in trouble. Don't do that, okay? But anybody want one? So let's do something here. Let's just close your eyes for a second. So Holy Spirit, what is this passage of scripture that you would have for each and every one of us to be different, Lord? I ask you, Holy Spirit, just to speak to us now. Thank you, Lord. So now here's the key is that you don't doubt, because if you heard something, you're going, well, I don't know if it was me or not. Don't doubt it. Just go and enjoy it. And if you're like, I didn't really know for sure if I got something, start. Just say, Holy Spirit, where should I go? And then just begin to dig in the scripture. And I'm telling you, when you're digging in God's word, sometimes, listen, I don't know why I'm going this way, so please forgive me if this is not right. But here, sometimes when you go and read the Bible, it seems hollow. And you're going, Pastor Rod, did you just say that? God's word is never hollow. Sometimes when you read it, see, here's for me, I used to sit there and go, God, why, what have I done? And you'd be turning to yourself, why am I not in the right place, Lord? What is this? I mean, I don't understand what's going on. And I would get a little anxious and upset in this. And I realized that sometimes I can just, that's just a key in that moment to dig deeper, to not give up, but not to allow the enemy to come along and go, you can't hear, you don't know scripture, you don't belong in this. Come on now, right? And in those moments, and you just say, no, I'm not believing your lie. I am going to dig, and I am going to believe one of two things are going to happen. I'm going to find the gold that God has for me in the word, or I'm going to believe that the gold that he has for me that I don't even know that's coming into me is happening even while I'm struggling, right? In the midst of this. And there is this sense of becoming again. It is God who causes us to become hungrier and hungrier and hungrier when we say, yes, Lord. Come on now, right? We begin to walk in this. So that has nothing to do with my sermon, but it has everything to do with walking with God, right? And so find that hunk of scripture. And if you say, Pastor Rod, I have been looking, I have been asking, I don't got nothing. Ask me, I'll give you one. You say, well, you're not God. No, I'm not, but we can begin somewhere. And I guarantee it, if you just stick your boat in the water in the word, he'll lead you and guide you to the place that you're supposed to go to. Amen? Amen, amen. So if we look then and we see the first part of this passage is Moses is dead. And you're going, okay, well, let's just learn a little bit about Moses in there. And so grab your Bible or in your phone, whatever, and go back one chapter until you hit Deuteronomy chapter 34, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 34. And we're going to see, because some of you, when I say, like, what's been going on here, this is one of the passages of scripture that causes me to go, huh? God, why? What did Moses do fully in this? And because we're going to read this, because Moses, if you do not know, Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. He was not allowed to go. And in fact, we're going to find here what's happened to Moses just when before Joshua chapter 1. Now look, let's read from verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, I'm sure I said that wrong, which is across from Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh. These are all tribes who are inheriting this land, and the land of Judah as far as the western sea. And the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho and the city of the palms as far as Zor. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants, and I have caused you to see it with your eyes. And then here's the part, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. And I'm not sure if you knew this, but watch what it says. According to the word of the Lord, and he, in my Bible, in the King James, whenever it capitalizes the he, it's referring to God. And God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Bor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died, and I love this. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of the weeping and the mourning for Moses had ended. So I'm a questioning minds want to know with me, okay? I'm always going, okay, Lord, I mean, there's so many people that did worse things than Moses. Come on now, if you really read it. Have you ever seen the children of Israel? Just read them a little bit. Every other chapter, they're what? They're complaining, they're whining, they're just difficult, okay, in this. Every other chapter, a miracle happens. And all of a sudden, it seems like within days, all of a sudden, we found something else to complain about. And yet, those are the ones now we're talking about, that after the whole wilderness, we've wandered the whole wilderness, those that were alive in the time of the wilderness, and remember that they all died off except for, we know, two, right, that came and went with them. And we look at this and we know that Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that went forward in this. Now Moses is still there in this, but he goes to the mountain, and this is where God takes him and takes him home. Now at this moment, though, it teaches us and tells us something, that for some reason, Moses wasn't allowed to cross over. His entire life's work was get the people out of Egypt and move them into the promised land, right? And yet he is not allowed to see the promised land with his feet. God showed it to him where they were about to go, but he wasn't allowed to cross over the Jordan. There was something brand new that was beginning to happen. The word in Hebrew that when they talk about crossing over is abar in this. And it's a different word than that was used for the Red Sea, okay, when they crossed over the Red Sea. This is a brand new thing. This is something that in Scripture is talking about the fact of not just going through and going over, but this is leaving everything else behind. Now, I know there's a group of people that will stay on the other side of this, but this has become the mentality now is fight, right? Come on now, think about it. The warriors and the families that stayed behind on the other side of the Jordan, their families could stay there and their sheep and their goats and whatever else they had could stay there, but their fighting men had to do what? They had to cross over and they had to go with them because it's time to fight. Now, what was always confusing to me sometimes is that God told them he gave them something and yet they had to fight for it, right? Have you ever felt like you had to fight for something? Now, what happens in life is sometimes you get so worn out that your fight begins to fade. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's so many things that have gone on. There's so many disappointments that have happened. Things that you thought would have gone a different way, and your fight begins to fade. But in this moment, after everything that's gone on, the people are getting ready to go over and to begin a brand new journey, a brand new fight. But Moses isn't allowed to go. And so I, in my curiousness, I know what some of the answers were, but I'm like, Lord, why is it that Moses could not go? And we see now this description of Moses. And I want to talk about the character of Moses just for a second. So go look in Deuteronomy chapter 34, and let's go to the last three verses that are there. Verse 10, and since then there was not arisen in Israel, a prophet like Moses. There's nobody like him at that time, whom the Lord knew, what? Face to face. Now, this is what you would call, it is a simile or something where he's describing him in a way. In other words, that talk about that word face to face is a phrase that simply means intimacy. It means closeness. It means he had the ability to walk up and spend time with God. In fact, there's different times that he talks about Moses talk to God like a a friend, right, in this. So there's this special intimate relationship that he has with God and begins to talk about. Now it says here in verse 11, and in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all the servants and in all his land, and by all the mighty power and all the great terror that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. In other words, God used him incredibly in his life. There are so many amazing things, so many amazing stories we go back. And so the question is again, what could Moses have done that was so bad that we turn around and he is not allowed to go into the promised land? So we see the description of Moses at this time. But Mike, again, we've got our question. But here's the thing that we have with Moses. If you're going to learn and talk about Moses, you're going to end up talking about rocks and water. Check it out and look. Okay, he was born. What happened to him? He got put into a little mini ark, right? And then he was put on the water, okay, in those moments. We know that there are so many other experiences with him and water or him and rocks. In fact, one of my favorite ones, and please, again, let's not get familiar with this passage of scripture, but I believe that God is reopening this door that I'm about to show you, this the sense of what God is about to do and what we have the opportunity. I'm not saying we have an absolute, but we have the opportunity to encounter. Exodus chapter 33. Most of you, a lot of you would automatically know where I'm going with this here. But Exodus chapter 3, go ahead and jump over. If you've got your phones, look for it in there. Exodus chapter 33. And we're going to go to verse 18. And it says here, and he said, please show me your glory. Now this is Moses talking to God, okay, in this. And then verse 19, and then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be compassionate to whom I will be compassionate. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said to him, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by, and then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. Again, remember I talked about what can get kind of confusing when we're talking about he was with God face to face. That is not an acronym, the fact that God has a face. We know that God is spirit, but he describes himself in ways in which that we can understand the closeness. Let me ask you something. If you have a friend and all you ever do is talk to their back, are you close? Right? Wouldn't that be weird? You get together for coffee and they turn around and they're looking the other way and you just talk to their back. Okay, in there. That would be really a strange situation that would be happening. This is a reference again to the intimacy that he has, that Moses has with God. But here's what I want you to grab in the midst of this. This is for somebody today. You got to really grab a hold of this. That he places him in the cleft of the rock. And this is a representation of Jesus. Jesus being the cleft of the rock that Moses is in, that the glory of the Lord is in Jesus, which is in the cleft of the rock in this moment. But I love, absolutely love this passage of scripture. I'm going to start doing some art that has scripture in it again. And this is one of the ones that I want to use. And it says this, in Exodus 33:21, that we just read it, but it says this, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. There is a place for you. Look at someone around you, point to them. There's a place for you. And I'm not just talking about the fact that there's a place for you in church here with us. There's lots of seats here for you, for others. I am talking about God has a very specific place for you with him. In Christ, on the rock. Forgive me the way I'm going to say this, okay? Pastor's lights just went big. What am I going to say? I am sick and tired to seeing people get the tar beat out of them by the enemy. Anybody else? I am tired of, even for myself, when I go to do something, that I've got all of this criticism flowing around in my brain. Anybody else? Come on, and maybe, you know, if you don't want to admit to it, that's okay too. But there is this sense, though, that I belong with God. Not just one of the crowd. I have a very specific place with him. A place that nobody else can go. A place that is just me and him. So if the enemy has been lying to you lately and telling you that you don't belong, seems to be screaming that to a lot of people lately. You don't belong. You don't belong here. You don't do enough. You don't do that. You don't do this. You don't belong in the body of Christ. You're not good enough for this. You're not good enough for that. Can I give you a weapon? Okay, here we go. Give you a weapon. Everybody look up at me. Look up at me just for a second here. Here's your weapon. And you're going to have to practice it right now. And you're going to feel awkward and uncomfortable. Are you ready? Okay, are you ready? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to laugh right now. Now, if you have to force it, if it sounds weird, okay, just do it anyways. Okay, come on, ready? Practice one more time. And you're like, this feels so weird. This feels forced. It doesn't feel, the guy sounds like the Joker. What's going on here? It's kind of scary a little bit in this, okay? But listen, when the enemy lies to you, you've got to learn to laugh. Nothing drives them more crazy than laughing. Because we're not laughing to taunt him ever, ever, ever. But we're laughing at how ridiculous those phrases are that he's speaking over us, that we don't belong. And we learn again that joy is a key in the midst of this. That we begin to laugh. Okay, so before we, man alive, time just flies on. Okay, so this is again, we're talking about, we're going down this journey and I'm showing you what happened to Moses and why he's not allowed to go in. And we talked about rocks and what? Rocks and water, rocks and water, rocks and water, all the time with Moses. Okay, in this. So let's go to Exodus chapter 17. Go over, use your Bibles today. Grab a hold of them. Don't smack the person beside you unless it's fun. So don't do that. Don't do that. Exodus chapter 17. Daniel, don't do that. Okay, so Exodus chapter 17. Okay, here we go. Ready? And it says, and the people are, what are they doing? And then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, to the commandment of the Lord and camped in, man alive, Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, what? Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Or why are you arguing and complaining with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. Now, it's normal to ask for water if there's no water around. But water in the sense of to ask and to complain, which is what we see here. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst. Now there's a faith statement. Come on now, right in the midst of this. But we look at this and we go, these people. How many of us have done the exact same thing? Come on now, all of a sudden, something happens and we just saw a miracle and we just saw amazing things happen and something happens and immediately we're down the trail and we find that our lips can move faster than our brain, it seems, and we are saying and doing stuff that we just know is not God. Come on now, anybody there? Come on now, be honest in this, we gotta move. But in this moment, we see that the people are doing this, but I find this fascinating. Then in the end of this chapter, God still gives them water. Because if anybody ever tells me that God's not a compassionate God and God of long suffering, just look at the children of Israel and all that he does for them within these situations. Now look at this. Let's go to verse 5. And the Lord tells Moses, this is what he says to do. Okay, so take his staff and the elders and go to a certain rock. This is what he's telling them. And now verse 6, and I will stand before you. What's he going to do? He's going to stand before you on the rock in Horeb. Now catch this imagery. And you shall strike the rock, which God now is standing on. Catch that. And the water will come out of it that the people may drink. I think this is absolutely amazing. Because it is a foreshadowing of what we're going to talk about. Think about Jesus the whole time you're reading the Old Testament. He is standing. God doesn't say something just for the sake of just saying something. He said, I will be there and I will stand on the rock in the midst of this, and then you will strike the rock. And so he does. Moses strikes the rock, the water comes out, everybody's excited, right? It's a good day, okay, in this. But then we go and we have another story, which really brings us to where our problem starts with Moses, and it's another rock and water story. And again, you're going to find it in Numbers chapter 20. So go over and find Numbers chapter 20, okay? Numbers chapter 20, just a little bit farther over, and we're going to see what happens in this story. So this is a different story, but again, we still find the people there. Once again, the people complain, it says. We see that this is a habit of theirs to do this. But let me just see here. So chapter 20. And the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin, and in the first month and stayed at Kadesh, and Miriam died there, and they were buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Now remember, there's two of them there, right? And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if we only had died with our brethren. Now there's another faith statement right there, right? I mean, we all look at them like, man, how could you say that? But I am telling you, some of you have been there. And my hands are pointing to myself. If only we had died where our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain. Listen, what they're doing. Grain or figs or vines or pomegranates. They're reflecting back to Egypt when they're doing this, right? And it says, and there isn't any water to drink. Now, this is what happens sometimes. Think about it. If you were just to read that statement by itself, you'd think Egypt was a pretty great place, right? Come on now, if you're serious. There was all of this food there, there was fruit there, and there were whips, and there was slavery, and there was, it's amazing how we forget those things. And in their moment, they have forgotten this again, and they begin to complain. And then this is what happens, and this is where it kind of starts to go south for Moses. And it says in verse 6, so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Man, that'd be awesome. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod. Sounds familiar, right? Same as before. You and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together and what? Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. And so then it says here in verse 9, and so Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him, in other words, out of the ark. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Boy, that's kind of pointing all these fingers at somebody. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? And then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. So here's the easy part of the explanation of this. In anger, Moses basically struck the rock twice instead of doing what? Speaking to it. So that's the simplistic form of the understanding of there, that we know that there was a sense for him that he knew what he was supposed to do, but he strikes it in anger at the people in there. I had an interesting question that the Lord brought to my mind this week when I was looking at this. And it kind of caused me, and I don't have all the answers yet for this. I don't quite understand this. But let me ask you something. Of all the people that were alive right there and then on the earth, who'd been before the face of God? Moses. Who had spent so much time with God on a mountain that his face shone with the brilliance of this as he came down the mountain? And we're talking about Moses. In fact, we're talking about the fact that it was so bright and so brilliant from being in the glory that he had to put a veil over top of it. He comes right out of the presence of God. And what does he do when he sees all the people dancing around and the whole story of the golden calf and whatnot? He does what? Yeah, a lot more oy than oyve. He turns around and takes these tablets, and in anger, he throws them down and he breaks them. So here's my question. Why didn't the incredible glory of God transform his anger? At times, we want, now hear my heart in this, I believe there's nothing like the presence of God to change us. But at times, we want people to pray for us so that we could get rid of something. Right? It's this sense of, okay, if I've got an anger problem, so I'm going to come up and I'm going to get prayer for it. Or I need to spend more time with God in his presence to get rid of this anger problem. And I agree, there's no better place to be than his presence. But it's a choice. Every day with God to decide to change. See, I'm amazed that in Moses' case right now, that his anger in the midst of this, one who spent so much time with God, that his anger is still there. And I'm not talking, people would say, well, there's righteous anger. Yes, but righteous anger doesn't bring forth destruction. There is such thing as being angry and not sin. I understand all that stuff. But I want to walk you through some other explanations right now or some other things just in a few minutes. Man, time is flying. But see, it's not the whole reason that he got angry and he struck the rock. Let me give you this. Let me give you Moses' opinion. Go to Deuteronomy 1:37. I'm going to just read them quickly. This is Moses' opinion of why he doesn't get to go in to the promised land. Now listen to him. Even with me, the Lord was angry at your, he's talking to the children of Israel, on your account. And he said, you also shall not go in there. So who is he blaming? The people of Israel. Deuteronomy 3:26. Let's see what he says. Moses says, but the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, can you imagine? The Lord said to me, enough from you. Do not speak of this matter again. Woo. Okay, Deuteronomy 4:21. The Lord was angry with me because of you. And he swore that I should not cross the Jordan and that I should not enter the good land. So Moses is blaming everybody else and not looking to himself even at this moment. But we can go even farther with this. Let me ask you, what do you think God said was the reason? Well, let's find out. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. Okay, so Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, and we'll see what God says. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me. What? To hallow me or to honor me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. So God says two things, because you have not believed in me, and because you, another passage says, you've not upheld me as holy in the eyes of the people. And I gotta ask the question, how do those two things tie into him getting angry and striking the rock twice? They seem like two different things at this moment. And yet, if we walk a little bit further, we can see what God's talking about. You see, when we look then, we got to go back to verse 20 again. Verse 10. And here's what Moses says. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, now hear me. Hear now, you rebels, right? Must we bring water for you out of this rock? See, I'm going to give you a couple of ideas in here and a couple of things in the midst of this. But is it possible, you see, that Moses, even after everything else, that he touched the glory of God in this moment? And he began to say that we was not the royal we. He's not talking about God. It's him and Aaron standing there in anger speaking this. Must we have done this? But you see, I believe that it's something that I live my life by. I think that God holds leaders more accountable than others. And I take that from James chapter 3. And I believe that it's something where, for me, that I've lived all my life, I don't live it in fear in this, but I recognize that there's a great responsibility being a leader. Do you know that? I want you to do something. Let's find the leaders in the room right now. Point to a leader in the room. Go ahead, just point to one. Okay, this is what everybody should have done. Right? Let's do this. Ready? Practice. In somewhere, some way, you are a leader in somebody's life. And we have a responsibility in this moment in there. And when I look at this, see, the other thing is God accuses Moses of not believing in him. You see, it's hard to understand after Moses seeing everything. But what was it Moses, what was it God told Moses to do? He told him to what? To, instead of smack the rock, speak to the rock. What was Moses' problem that he, back when the very beginning, when God called him and then God gave him Aaron, what was the problem? I can't speak, he says. I can't speak. I can't talk in this. I'm not good at this. I can't speak. My words are, I mean, I'm going to fumble. I'm going to stumble. I'm la, 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 la. And then God says to him, keeps telling him, remember the story? Over and over and over, God tells him, you're good. I got you. All these different ways. I'm with you. It's okay. I got you. I got you. Okay, fine. I'll give you Aaron to speak for you. But in this moment, again, you think it's possible that his insecurities begin to rise up again in the sense that he has to do what he still feels after all these years he can't really do very well, and that is to speak. Is it possible at this moment that he didn't believe God's word to just be, to speak? And he went back to what he'd seen work before. Got to grab that. He went back to what he'd seen work before. Oh, yes, he did it in anger. Yes, he did it in, he was all of these other things. But here's something. Have you ever been tempted to go back to something that worked before because what you're praying for is not working right now? Come on now. Some of us go back to the fact of, what did I do wrong? Why? And we begin to take all these fingers and we start to self-diagnose and we start to dig around inside. When God is looking at you and saying, hang on a second, I don't remember what you're talking about. And you're like, and you're bringing up all these things you've done in the past, all these things that you, and he's like, really? Because he's done what? He is forgiven and he's forgotten. See, he doesn't hold those things against you anymore. But in this moment, is it possible that really Moses is beginning to function and go back to some insecurities? Maybe not, but it is a possibility to me. But what I think this next part is kind of just, to me, was a little bit shocking. Because when I see, I'm going to just have to wrap this up in this. But listen, when he says to him, when the very first time in 17, in chapter 17 of Exodus, where God instructs him, take the staff, go out, I'm going to be standing on the rock, strike the rock and the water will come out. Let's jump over to the cross. Come on, let's jump over to the cross. And what happens? That we find that Jesus is there. And this is what it says in John 19, 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately what? Blood and water flowed. Where is Jesus at this place? The Golgotha, the place on a rock. You see, that is a sign in Exodus 17. It is a picture of Jesus. And that's why he was supposed to strike it once. That's why the instructions of the Father are so very specific in this to Moses. Strike it once, and then the water will come. You follow that passage of scripture when after the piercing is then the water goes, when the soldier comes by, he breaks everybody else's legs, but he doesn't touch Jesus again. One strike. You see here in this moment here in Exodus 17, it's talking about the salvation that will come through Jesus. And Jesus doesn't have to die every time, right, we sin. He died once. One strike, he died once for all. And then we turn around and we see that God loves imagery. Scripture is just filled with it like this. The Old Testament is filled with it. And so we get to the second part of this and we turn around and we see that why is God so upset even after everything I've told you? He's forgiven so many different things. He's allowing grumbling, complaining people to walk in there, but he won't let Moses in this situation. Although he loves Moses, although this isn't a talking about going to heaven, he's not pushed Moses back. There's no anger with him towards Moses now when he takes him. But listen, Moses had specific instructions. The second time is what? To speak to the rock. Don't go back and strike it again. To speak to the rock. And in this moment, this is the fact that Jesus, yes, now has died for us. And then listen, this is what he says. This is what Jesus says to us in John chapter 7, 37, 39. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He goes on to speak of what? Of rivers of living water flowing out of us. And in this moment we talk about, I believe the reason why he said speak is because we're talking about when we speak, we have to have breath that comes out of our mouth. It rolls across our tongue and our teeth to make words. That's what speech is. The Ruach of God beginning to speak at that moment begins to change everything. And we now, on the other side of the cross, that we're not supposed to sit there and strike the rock again now in this. We're supposed to use our God-given tongues and speak in those moments to see healing come, right? And it's this faith moment, but even farther, why is the Father, and I think it's looking at this going, because he had it set up so that we could see that when he spoke to us, talking about the Ruach of God, the breath of God, that the Holy Spirit then would come. You see, first Jesus gave his life, then the Holy Spirit comes, and we function through the cross, but we never have to expect Jesus to have to die again, right? And now, though, over and over and over again, there is this expectation for us to begin to rise up and speak. If there's living water that needs to come out of us, it's time for us to what? To rise up and speak. It's time for us to not be, I had the Lord ask me the strangest questions because I don't have time this morning, but if you go on and you see that they cross the Jordan. Let's just do it quickly. They cross the Jordan. As they're going through, God gives Joshua this instruction to take 12 from each tribe and get these boulders out because they're big enough that if you read the scripture, it talks about they got to put them up on their shoulder to walk them out of the middle of the Jordan in this. And what he does is he tells them to go to Gilgal. Now, us in our brains, we think that must be around the corner. They must have walked out of the river, then they gone over there and just put them on the edge so everybody could see. It's 8 miles to Gilgal. They got to carry the stone 8 miles and they get there and they set up this memorial. And what's the purpose of this memorial? We know that so that it says in those days when you and your children are walking by this and you see this pile of stones that is there, you will say, why? What's going on? What's that there for? That looks like it's been preserved. What's it there for? And you begin to tell of the story of the crossing of the Jordan. But there's this other time, other moment in there, though, where we turn around and we see that what does Joshua do? He starts doing it himself. He takes 12 more, sets them up in the middle of the Jordan by himself. It says, and I don't see any instruction. God may have whispered it to them. We don't know, but it's not written in scripture that he was told to do this. But he goes ahead and he sets it up in the middle of the Jordan. And as I'm reading this, the Lord began to talk to me about the fact of some things need to be buried. Rod, it's time to let some things go. Because there's a new journey and a new fight ahead. And I've got to let some things drown in the river to be consumed. And he asked me this strange question. He said, what's your memorial made of? And I didn't feel guilt. I didn't feel shame. But he began to remind me of some things that when that I've kind of made a memorial of, and their failures. It may sound strange to you their disappointments. And you say, you make a memorial of them? Well, I speak to them often enough that they must be a memorial, right? And is there a sense of what he's saying to us in this season right now? It's time to raise up and speak of the things that God has done. And the things of disappointment, the things of frustration, the things of lack, the things that don't look like God. You know what I'm talking about? Things that don't line up. They don't look like scripture. They don't look like anything I've been taught. They make no sense to me at all. I got to go back to Jesus in the middle of the river where God is. And I got to place them at the bottom of this river where God is. And say, Lord, I got to leave this here with you. I'm crossing over. I'm going to leave this here with you. And we get up and we go and we cross the Jordan. Stand up with me this morning. There's an amazing thing, story in the midst of this. Did you know? So we know that when they crossed the Red Sea, as soon as they dipped in, right, the wall of water happened. But this story is different. That the water stopped. Listen, the water stopped 25 kilometers back up the river in a place called Adam. Going back to Adam to bring what was lost to be restored. Wow, come on. You turn around on what God is willing to do. And think about our God. That in that moment, it still says, when they stepped in, all of a sudden the water ran out. It's 25 miles back where it stopped up. Only our God could know or could sit there in time and go, ready? He's stepping in. Okay, boom, with the waters. And out it goes. That's the same God that I do life with. That in the midst of all of my disappointments and all the frustrations and all the things that don't make sense, I'm just like, Lord, this fighting season now. I'm getting ready to move. And I'm not talking about being aggressive. I'm not talking about the fact of having yelling and screaming. I'm talking about choosing to believe God. I don't want to be in the midst of all of this and have the Lord talk to me about not believing him. You with me? We choose today to stand up and to begin to speak. So Father, in your name right now, we all are here today and we offer you that there are things this week that we're gonna lay right in the place where you were in the Jordan. See, where the priests were, that was where God was right in that moment. Lord, it's where you were right in that moment. Joshua starts making this other memorial. But it got buried so that we could walk into newness of life. So I expect today, Lord, that I will not strike the rock in anger. I will not allow my insecurities to disable me. That I will choose to listen to you and to be obedient. And I will rise up in this moment to speak the word and watch you perform the miracle. In your name, amen, amen, amen. I bless you today. I expect to hear testimonies of what God's doing in your... We want to be a testimony people, right? Yeah. Right, so we need that. Lord, we are open for testimonies this week. Amen, amen. Bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.